Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 10. And I'll begin reading with verse 1. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." We've been exploring the seven I am statements of Jesus recorded in John. Each of these I am statements reveal a unique aspect of who Jesus is and his role as Savior of the world. The first such declaration recorded in John's gospel is, "I am the bread of life." As the bread of life, Jesus is absolutely essential for spiritual life. And in order to find the life Jesus offers, we must partake of him. A second self-disclosure made by Jesus is, "I am the light of the world." As light of the world, Jesus came to illuminate the darkness and bring the hope of salvation to everyone who will receive it. This morning I want to look at a third statement made by Jesus. "I am the door." In fact, John 10 reveals two I am statements of Jesus. First, "I am the door." And we see that in both verses 7 and 9. And a little bit beyond what I read, in verses 11 and 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." The first 18 verses of John 10 really have three parts. And the emphases and metaphors change throughout. In the first six verses, Jesus tells a type of allegory in which he illustrates the characteristics of legitimate and illegitimate shepherds or leaders of Israel, as it's applied. Legitimate shepherds enter through the gate of the sheepfold. The gatekeeper recognizes them and lets them in. Real shepherds know their sheep, and the sheep know them. False shepherds, on the other hand, try to enter the fold another way. Their intention is to cause harm to the sheep, and the sheep do not recognize them. True sheep do not recognize them. In verses 7 through 10, Jesus declares that he himself is the door through which all must pass. In verses 11 through 18, Jesus uses a different metaphor to describe himself. He is the good shepherd who leads and cares for the sheep. So you have both these metaphors. It's important to recognize the context. Notice right at the beginning of verse 1, most translations translate it "truly, truly." In the Greek, "amen, amen," which in fact is a transliteration of the Hebrew "amen, amen." And it basically means, "I tell you the truth." Leon Morris notes that this never begins a discourse, but follows up on something previously said. In other words, when you see something like verily, verily, it means that it doesn't start on its own. It's not starting fresh with a whole new thought. It's continuing something that has already taken place. The discourse in chapter 10 follows up on what's taken place in chapter 9. And if you remember in chapter 9, way back when we were talking about the miracles of Jesus, in chapter 9, Jesus heals the man who has been blind from birth. Now, the religious leaders didn't like that for a number of reasons. One, because it drew attention to Jesus. But two, and this one really got their goat, it was on the Sabbath. And they thought Jesus was violating the Sabbath by healing people. So the religious leaders rejected the man's testimony. But when the man insisted, the religious leaders, well, we'll just get rid of this controversy. They threw him out of the synagogue. The chapter closes with Jesus calling out the religious leaders for the frauds they were. Notice, in chapter 9, verses 39 through 41, Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Now understand, the miracle was a man who was born blind was given his sight. So we're talking about sight, blindness being healed. And this follows, Jesus followed on that theme. "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to them, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, we see, your guilt remains." And then chapter 10 begins. Truly, truly. Jesus goes on to tell in allegorical form how one can distinguish between a true shepherd and a false one. Let me share a few points. First of all, it's all about the door. Not all about the base, the base, the base. It's all about the door. I'm sorry. It's all about the door. John 10, verses 1 and 2. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The initial picture is of a sheepfold or pen where sheep were kept at night. Now, in some cases, this might have been a private family courtyard. Just a single flock of sheep, a private flock that was kept in a private courtyard. But what is spoken of here is very clearly a larger enclosure where a number of flocks might be contained. The boundary was established by walls of piled stone. There was a single doorway guarded by the gatekeeper, and such a gatekeeper would normally have been an under-shepherd hired and tasked with that role. His job would have been twofold. First of all, to make sure the sheep remained in the enclosure, and then to see that only authorized individuals, that is, true shepherds, gained access. Now, I've heard some people suggest a custom where the shepherd himself would sleep in the doorway. And that would possibly fit in the case of a private courtyard or something that was watched by a single shepherd. But in this case, I don't think it adds too much to the meaning of the story, and the metaphors are definitely distinguished. And it certainly doesn't fit the image of the first five verses, because that is a larger enclosure where someone is hired to watch that. The main emphasis, as I said, is on the door. Use of the door determines what is true or false. The door reflects the legitimacy of those gaining access to the sheepfold. Anyone who enters through the door is a real shepherd. He can be trusted with the sheep. The sheep recognize his voice and follow him. Those who avoid the door are up to no good. They are not authentic shepherds who will care for the sheep. They are thieves and robbers. They intend to use the sheep for their own selfish gain. Such fake shepherds threaten the well-being of the flock. In Jesus' initial illustration, verses 1 through 5, he speaks in general terms regarding those who would claim oversight over the sheep. Jesus doesn't specifically identify himself in the story. His words simply provide a figurative way of distinguishing between good and bad leaders in Israel. Within the context of the previous chapter, what Jesus was doing was directly addressing the illegitimacy of those who called themselves shepherds of Israel, yet rejected the one whom the Father had sent. They had hopped the fence. They had not entered through the door. They had no interest in guiding, nurturing, and guarding the sheep. They were thieves and robbers, Jesus tells us. John records that those listening to Jesus didn't get what he was saying. Verse 6, this figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. Now, as the discourse unfolds, Jesus expands the allegory and identifies himself with two distinct components. First, as I said earlier, he is the door. And that's what we're looking at today. But then he goes on a little bit later and he says, I am the good shepherd. Take a look at that next week. So the first point is, it's all about the door. The second point is, Jesus is the door. Notice verses 7 through 9. So Jesus again said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. Now the picture takes on more spiritual detail. The sheep within the enclosure are the people of God. First, initially, we're talking about within Israel. But later, it is to include all who had come from the nations of the world. Notice down in verse 16. I have other sheep, Jesus says, that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. Jesus is saying, there are others who are going to be included in this. They are going to be brought into the flock. They're going to be brought into the fold, and they are all going to become one flock, and there will only be one shepherd. And it's very important to understand that even at this point in Jesus' ministry, he was dropping the message, as it were. It goes way back to the Old Testament, that it's not just about Israel, it's about all who will come. We're all part of one flock. But Jesus is the only entrance into God's sheep. Fold. There are a couple of ways in which Jesus is the only door. First of all, Jesus is the only door to becoming one of God's sheep. Verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. There's no other way. And even though we're going to be looking at John 14:6 a little bit later, because it is an I am passage, I can't help but utilize it throughout many of these discussions of I am passages, because they're so interrelated. But John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the only way. He's the only door of entrance. When we come by way of Jesus as the doorway to the sheepfold, we enter into the care of the Lord as our great shepherd. With the sentiment of the psalmist in Psalm 95 or 7, for he is our God and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. We belong to him. We're part of his flock. Jesus is the only way to find true security and provision. John 10:9. Again, if anyone enters by me, Jesus said, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We enter through the door, which is Jesus. There's only one door, and it is Jesus. We enter through the door. Once identified as a part of God's flock, we can go in and out with complete confidence in his care. That idea, again, you're kind of mixing some metaphors, because in one sense, you're talking about coming into the sheepfold to find identity as part of God's flock through Jesus. But then it goes on and says, now you go in and out, that sense of confidence in his care. We can go in and out and move, as it were, through life with the confidence that we're part of his flock. He takes care of us. He is our shepherd. Now let me take a minute and talk about the meaning of abundant life. I don't think it's distorted in many people's minds here, but is throughout Christendom within various movements, I think it does become distorted. What does it mean to have the abundant life that Jesus is talking about? He says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Clearly, Jesus is promising something positive to those who would recognize him as their shepherd, who become part of God's flock. But what is it? Well, it definitely is not referring to material wealth or the abundance of physical things. That is so shallow in perspective. To think of it that way so misses the mark. And yet, God does bless us so often with material things. But that's not part of the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. Yes, he blesses us with some things from time to time. And he expects us to be good stewards of those things and hold them loosely and not let them get a hold of us. But that's not the abundant life that he's referring to. Jesus is referring to a quality of life that is overflowing with spiritual and eternal substance. Sometimes we think of spiritual things as not really having substance, but when we look at the pages of Scripture, the spiritual and the eternal is substantive. It does have substance. And Jesus is referring to a quality of life that is overflowing with spiritual and eternal substance. It is a life that is abounding in fullness of joy, regardless of the circumstances. When we're truly walking with a trust in the great shepherd, we have confidence regardless of the circumstances around us. We can walk in joy knowing that he's in control. The abundant life that Jesus is referring to is a strength of spirit, soul, and body. It is experiencing the living water. John chapter 4 and John chapter 7. the living water that never runs dry and forever satisfies. It is His presence that walks with us in every situation. It is the confidence that when this physical life is over, we step off into eternity uninterrupted, but changed. Eternal life that begins now and continues beyond this physical life. That's the abundant life that Jesus is referring to. So one way in which Jesus is the only door is that Jesus is the only door to becoming one of God's sheep and entering into that abundant life. But there's another way that I see where Jesus is the only door, and that is that Jesus is the only door of validation to lead God's people. Notice John chapter 10 verses 2 through 5. He who enters the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus is the good shepherd. But God has called others to shepherd and care for his flock in Jesus' name. Notice what Peter has to say in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. He says to those who are called to be leaders within the church, the elders, he says, shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in your charge, but being examples to the flock. Those who shepherd are those who oversee the spiritual well-being of those within their care. They are called to nurture and invest in the lives of others. True shepherds come by way of the only door, Jesus Christ. They have personally entered through him, and their focus and ministry are thoroughly fixed in him. Jesus is the only door of validation for true spiritual ministry, to be true shepherds of the flock. So it's all about the door. Jesus is the door. One more point I want to make, and this is a point of warning. Beware of fake leaders who don't use the door. Beware of fake leaders who don't use the door. John 10, 1, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Verse 8, all who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. Now we got to look at that just a little bit, because if you rigidly interpret that verse, you're going to say, all, without exception, everyone who came before Jesus was a thief and a robber. Well, we know that's not true. Clearly, Jesus is not using all to mean everyone without exception, because we have the Old Testament prophets, and John the Baptist himself was, who was hardly thieves and robbers. Jesus is referring to those who were going before him as leaders of Israel, but they were fake leaders of Israel. They were leading them astray. Specifically in context, you're seeing some in chapter 9 who were not recognizing who Jesus was and refusing to receive him. Those are the thieves and robbers. Then in John 10:10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, you know, it's always difficult when you kind of meddle with favorite verses, and we love this verse. We often use this verse to refer to Satan as the thief, And Satan is a thief. Satan is definitely a thief who seeks our destruction. But if you really look at the verse in context, the context here refers to false spiritual leaders previously called thieves and robbers in verse 1. That's really the thief that Jesus is referring to. The one who is a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, without a doubt, Satan is the chief of thieves and he is the one behind these fake shepherds. But within context, Jesus is referring to the thieves and robbers that he reflects on in verse 1. God condemned the spiritual leaders of Israel in the Old Testament for selfish neglect. Turn with me to Ezekiel chapter 34. Really, most of the chapter deals with this. I just want to pick up in verse 7. The Lord has, you know, just an absolute blazing criticism of the leaders in Israel. Beginning in verse 7, Ezekiel chapter 34. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep, therefore you shepherds hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from their mouths, that they may not be food for them. You see, in the Old Testament, they had some of those fake shepherds. Not always. There were some that were real. But at the time of Ezekiel, the Lord was speaking out with a lot of force against those who called themselves shepherds, called themselves leaders of Israel, yet were leading his people astray, were feeding themselves but not feeding the sheep spiritually. They were taking advantage of the flock. Paul warned the elders of Ephesus against those who would destroy the flock in the New Testament. Paul was on his way to Jerusalem in Acts chapter 20. Turn with me there, if you will. And he stopped over for a period of time, and the elders of Ephesus came to meet with him, to pray with him. And notice what Paul has to say beginning with verse 28. He says, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you. You see, among the leaders, the very leaders, among them, false leaders would come in pretending to be true leaders. Fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves will arise men speaking twisted things to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore, be alert, remembering that for 3 years I did not cease night or day to admonish everyone with tears. See, Paul invested his life at Ephesus. But now as he was meeting with the leaders of the church there, the elders, he's saying, I understand that there are those who are going to come, even among you, who are going to sneak in, and they're going to try to do harm to the sheep. They're going to try to lead them astray, teaching twisted things that are not consistent with the truth. Beware of those. They are wolves. To use the term, wolves in sheep's clothing. Actually, wolves in shepherd's clothing. And they're going to try to lead the people astray. Beware. Paul foretold that there would come a time when people would follow after teachers who make them feel good but are not anchored in the truth. Notice what he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. He had just encouraged Timothy, actually exhorted Timothy, to preach the word. Be ready at all times, reprove, rebuke. And then in verse 3 he says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. You see, it's not just the leaders, the false leaders that come in to deceive. They're not the only ones culpable. The sheep themselves set themselves up to be led astray because they look for the easy word. The one that's not difficult to hear, the one that applies to their life in such a way that makes them feel good, and so they follow after those that offer it to them, even though it's not based on truth. And so they're led astray, and ultimately they fall away. Such imposters as these have not come by way of the door. They are not grounded in Jesus Christ. They have no concern for the sheep. It is critical to be aware. It is critical to look at the basis of those who lead. Have they come by way of the door? Jesus said in John 10:5, a stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The problem is that we are not always listening to the voice or for the voice we recognize. Instead, all too often, we're quick to accept the message that is easiest to listen to. So rather than being discerning, to say, do we recognize that voice as one that has come by way of the door that is based upon truth? Rather than being discerning in that way, instead, oh, but you know what? When I hear his teaching, I feel good. It really lifts me up. That old saying, how can it be wrong if it feels so good? Applied to a message instead of however else they apply it. We often fall into that trap. As the door, Jesus is the only legitimate way into the sheepfold. Those who come by way of him find salvation, security, and provision. Jesus is the only door. And I don't know about you, but I passed over it fairly quickly, but that promise that we're all called under one shepherd, regardless of denomination, regardless of whether you're Jew or Gentile, male or female, regardless of where you come from around the world, we're all called under one shepherd to be part of one flock, God's flock. That is so exciting. And one day, we're all going to be gathered together to worship him. Hopefully sounding a whole lot better than the bleating of a bunch of sheep. Worshiping God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for your truth. And as we look this morning at Jesus being the only door, I pray that you would help us to apply that to our lives. Help us to not only enter in through that door, but to remain fixed upon the reality of the truth of that every day of our lives, always remaining in the flock of God, in the sheepfold, really, regardless of whether we go in and out. Lord, we find that security in you, but help us to always keep Jesus at the center, to be surrendered to the cross, to walk in him, and to be validated in him, walking in his righteousness, not our own. Lord, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.